We'd like to introduce our first speaker, Andy from the Serenity
Channel. I'll save time for you, buddy. Don't worry. Yeah. Okay, I'm done. I'd like to introduce Bernie. I'm Andy. I'm an addict. And it's nice to say that in a place where everybody here knows what the hell I'm talking about, because a lot of people really don't know what that means when I tell them, you know, and that's a little unsettling sometimes. I've been asked to speak about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, which are, in my opinion, the three legs of the tripod that holds up all of my recovery. And I thought that up on the drive down here. Isn't that good? I like that.
Super.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Because I'm driving down here and I'm thinking, what the hell am I going to talk about? And but what I always do when I speak is I make contact with my higher power, and I ask for the open-mindedness to be aware of what my higher power's will is for me, and that I carry a message that my higher power wants me to carry, and I try not to carry my own shit into speaking. And so I do that, and it usually works out pretty well for me. I try and work all three of those things in my life every day, but of course, being human, it's a little difficult to do that all the time. And I'm happy if I can get two out of the three going at one time. And when I get three out of three going, things click, you know. And life is pretty stress-free at that time. And I'm really aware of what my higher power's will is for me. When I was asked to do this, of course, my first reaction is always, oh, God, no, I'm not going to do that. But I learned a long time ago that in order for me to work this program, I have to be willing to carry the message to the still suffering addict. And in order for me to keep what I have, I have to give it away. And that's an integral part of my program. Basically, what it comes down to for me is I have to practice what I preach. You know, so if I'm not talking about it, and I'm not trying to, and I'm not helping other recovering addicts to follow a path of recovery, then I'm going to lose what I have. It's like anything else. It's a skill. And if I'm not using those skills, I lose them. I think I learned somewhere that any skills that a person doesn't use, that person loses those in about 4 months' time. So if let's say I can go 4 months without using my skills of recovery, but that's, you know, really pushing it. Honesty. Well, all three of those, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, were not in my vocabulary and certainly not in my practice when I came into Narcotics Anonymous. I walked into a meeting on June 1st, 1988 in New Jersey. And I walked into that meeting for no other purpose than I was scared and I wanted to stop feeling the way I was feeling. And I think deep down inside, I knew that I was an addict. But by the time they were done with the readings at the beginning of the meeting, I was sure. I had no doubt. And when they said, are there any newcomers, I introduced myself as an addict. Not because I was brainwashed, like some people think, but because I identified. And for some reason, my higher power gave me the open-mindedness to listen to what was being said in that meeting so that I could identify with that. And I'm really grateful for that, because I was certainly not open-minded when I came in. I didn't want to hear anything anybody said. I'd been in therapy for a couple years and was going to therapy sessions high, you know. And my it took me about that long to admit to my therapist that I was using drugs on a daily basis. So here I am paying money to somebody to help me, and I was completely dishonest with this person and totally unwilling to stop using. So I go to a place where you guys say, oh, you know what, sit right here. That'll be fine. I'll move over. And we'll give you something for free that's going to make you feel a lot better. And you just keep coming back here, and we're going to carry you for a little bit until you can kind of get on your own feet and start working this program. So, you know, I went from paying a lot of money to somebody whose advice I was ignoring to working with a bunch of recovering addicts who were giving it away for free and who actually seemed to care about me, which was really bizarre. At first I thought, you know, this can't be real. This must be one of those cult things, you know, where they get me in and then they start sucking me dry. But it never happened. And I'm really grateful for that as well. I still have trouble with honesty. My initial impulse at all times is to think up a lie. So if one of you said, "What's the weather like today?" I'd have to think about that. What should I tell them? And what I should tell you is, "Hey, it's really nice out. It's kind of cool, and there's not a cloud in the sky." You know, but for some reason, I always feel like I have to cover my ass. No matter what somebody asks me, I got to cover my ass. And I think it's because when I was using, that was what it was all about. You know, lying, cheating, and stealing to get more. And that habit, or maybe it's ingrained in the disease of addiction. I don't know, but it still sticks with me. On Monday, I had to go talk to my advisor. Through recovery, through trust in my higher power, and through some hard work, I'm at a point in my life where I'm one dissertation away from getting a PhD. And that's freaking amazing, because when I first went to college, I flunked out in 3 semesters because I stopped going to classes in the second week and just started doing more and more drugs. But anyway, so I go to my advisor, and I had a deadline on Monday. I was supposed to have a bunch of stuff, and I didn't do it. And so I'm walking up the steps to his office, and I'm thinking up lies, you know. What am I going to tell this guy? You know, let's see. I could tell him somebody died. I could tell him that, you know, I had a lot of work at home to do. I could tell him that, you know, and I'm just thinking of more and more lies. And when I got into his office, practicing these principles and all my affairs kicked in, and I told him the truth. I said, "You know what, Todd?" I said, "I've been screwing off all summer, and I've barely been working on this thing, and I don't have it done." And he looked at me, you know, because all the fears I had about this, because fear goes with it too. Dishonesty and fear go hand in hand for me. I thought for sure he's going to tell me, you know, "You're a loser, you're stupid, I can't believe what a crappy grad student you are, you know, get the hell out of here." But what he said to me was, very simply, "Yeah, it's been a nice summer, hasn't it? You've been riding your bike a lot." And then he said, "You know, it would be in your best interest to get this finished as quickly as you possibly can so you can get on with your career." And I was like, it just amazed me, you know. I was honest, and shit didn't blow up in my face, you know. And I find more and more that as I'm honest over and over again, that shit doesn't blow up in my face. Sometimes I have to face consequences that are painful, but the pain of those consequences is far better than the pain of pushing myself backwards in recovery and losing what you guys gave to me for free and dropping back into a spiritual morass. You know, and once I tell one lie, I got to tell more lies to cover them up, you know. I got to keep going. And it just, you know, that tangled web thing is so true. And eventually, I'm not real good at lying, you know. Eventually it catches up with me, and the shit hits the fan, and it is 100 times worse than if I had just told the freaking truth to begin with. And trusted the people I was lying to instead of trying to scam them and manipulate them. So honesty is something I struggle with on a daily basis, and yet it's something that I trust in my higher power to help me with. Open-mindedness is another tough one for me, too. Man, I would love nothing better than to stand up here, especially since I'm being taped, and tell you how honest, open-minded, and willing I am. And, oh, yeah, I'm, you know, working this thing like mad. I can't drive my car without cursing out just about every person I see. And that goes right to open-mindedness, you know. Now, if I cut somebody off, it's because I made a little mistake. But if somebody cuts me off, it's because they're an SOB and a so-and-so, and they're driving that kind of car, and I bet they're from this state, even though they have different license plates, and Christ. And that's kind of a manifestation of the anger that I've internalized for 40 years. Now, through this program, I've been taught that I'm not supposed to be taking other people's inventories. Now, I'm not real good at lying, but I'm really good at taking other people's inventories. I mean, I'm really good at it, and because I've had a lot of practice. And yet, when I take other people's inventory and I get pissed off and I point out all their defects, I found out that I get really upset, really angry, very unspiritual, and my recovery suffers. So, I don't know, not too long ago, I started to make a decision that, you know what, I've been trying this for 40 years, and although I thought it would work the very next time I did it, it's just not working. And so, I became willing to change, and that doesn't mean that now I'm like, oh, it's okay, you cut me off, that's fine, come in, you come in. You people walk across the street in front of my car. That's fine. No, what it means is I get cut off, I slam on the brakes, and I think all of those things I used to say out loud, and I don't say them out loud. And because I'm not saying them out loud, my mind is open enough to think about what you guys told me for free in the rooms, is that everybody's a human being, everybody makes mistakes, and it's not my job to criticize, point out their mistakes, and tell them how to correct them. So while I'm going through this process, the situation is diffused, I'm able to tell myself, you know what, all this stuff you're thinking right now is bullshit. Because this person didn't do anything other than what you perceive as getting cut off. And so with that, I'm able to calm myself down. I'm not carrying a resentment about this person, which, by the way, I can carry for a long time. I'm really good at taking inventories and carrying resentments. And I can get on with my day-to-day activities. And you know what? When I get to where I'm going, I'm not pissed off, which amazed me. I had no idea you could drive a car, go somewhere, and not be pissed off when you got there. I was like, I thought it was the new car smell or something that made me pissed off, you know? So I get where I'm going, and I'm, like, happy, you know? My wife's like, wow, you know, we're having a good time, and we just got where we're going. Usually it takes a day, you know, before we can have a nice time. And I'm like, yeah, you're really getting better, you know? Because it can't possibly be that I'm changing or that there was something wrong with me. But you know what? I looked at my recovery when I started, and I projected into the future. And to tell you the truth, I never thought I'd be where I am today. You know, one day at a time. When you got a week in recovery, one day at a time is like, yeah, okay, I'll make it to like a month if I can. But I look at where I am, and I thought I'd be cured by now. You know, I thought, well, you know, and I'd see people have the amount of time I got now. I'd say it must be cured. And then they do something stupid, and I'd be like, wow, what's that all about? But now I know, because I do stupid shit all the time. And it's because I'm a human being, and I make mistakes, and I'm not perfect. And as much as I'd like you all to believe that I work honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness on a 24-hour basis, I don't do that. And I don't enjoy standing up here and telling you people how I fuck up. I really don't. But if I don't save my ass because I'm trying to save my face, then I'm not going to be here next year. You know? I've already done that the hard way. I closed my mind off about 10 years into recovery and thought, I know this shit. I can recite all the readings. I know all the steps and traditions by heart. I don't have to go to meetings. You know, they smoke at meetings. Well, where I was, they used to smoke in the meetings. And I don't smoke, so that bothers me. So, you know, I get my recovery through the television. That'll be fine. So I stopped going to meetings for about 3 years. And I started lying to myself. And then I started doing some weird shit. And some really disgraceful shit. And I started lying to my wife. And I started lying to myself. And I started lying to other people. And I started acting compulsively on some issues that I had no business acting on. And that went on for several years. And I got sicker and sicker and didn't even know it. You know? Well, finally the shit hit the fan. So I had no recovery organization. I had no people in recovery to go to. I really didn't have any close friends I wanted to talk to. I was in a heap of shit. I felt like crap. I suffer from depression, so I immediately went into a depressive spiral. So not having any recovery, not having any support network, not having any open-mindedness, willingness, or honesty, I decided that the very best thing I could possibly do would be to kill myself. So I tried to do that, and obviously it didn't work. I'm not much better at killing myself than I am at being honest. So I ended up in a mental ward at the hospital for 72 hours of observation. So here I was. At this point, I had 12 years clean, and I was in an institution. And the first thing I thought was jails, institutions, and death. What the fuck did I do? And I thought, this isn't right, you know? So I immediately went to a meeting. They had a meeting in the hospital on the Sunday that I was there. And there's some other kid in the mental ward, too. And his mother had called somebody who called somebody else, and this person came up to take him to a meeting. And I met the guy in the hallway. And we all went down to the meeting. And it was the first thing I had done right in recovery in 3 years. And I sat in the meeting, and I was like, oh, man, why did I stop going to these fucking meetings? Well, it turns out the guy who got called by the person who knew the other guy's mother is now my sponsor. He's the best sponsor I've ever had. I'm really tight with him. And I'm honest with him, too. And I don't like being honest with him, you know. I don't like male authority figures, you know. I have to admit that. And a sponsor to me is a male authority figure. So I don't really want to tell him shit. But I learned that lesson that if I don't want to try and kill myself because that's the only solution left, then I need to be honest. So I go to him and I tell him stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, I've done that. And he's like, oh, yeah, I feel that all the time. This is what I do, you know, and he's not like, you're an idiot, what a depraved moron you are. He doesn't say any of that shit. What he says is, you know what, Andy, you're not right. I said, Dave, why can't I do this? Well, you're not right. I'm not right. That's his answer to everything, and you know what, that's what I need to hear. I'm not right, you know, I got the disease of addiction, that's not right. And him telling me that just allows me a lot of things. It allows me to trust him. It allows me to calm down. And it allows me to understand that even if I fuck up, people aren't going to hate me. You know? People will be there just like they were the first day I walked in saying, you know what, take the seat. I'll move over here. Sit down. What's your problem? How you doing? And they'll give me their strength-open experience, so that I can remain honest, open, and willing. And then if I'm honest, open, and willing, I can work through the problems I have without lying, without taking other people's inventories, and with the ability to look at myself and say, you know what, my behavior sucks. And just recently I had to say that to my wife again. We are in therapy. That's not part of the program, but there are some outside issues I need to work through that I need intensive help for. Actually, I have a team of mental health specialists that tend to my needs. Two therapists and a psychiatrist. And I keep them busy. I also keep the one guy in Audis, I think. I'm not sure. But so we're in therapy, and my wife says this thing about my behavior. Not accusatory, just these are my feelings. And it was like I had walked across a white carpet in our house, and she had said, turn around. And I turned around, and there was mud that I tracked in all over the fucking place. And I was like, oh, man, I did that? And this bell went off in my head, and the open-mindedness kicked in, and I was able to see, like, and it was like, you know, suddenly the clouds parted and the sun shined on me, and, you know, God said, thou art, you know, fucked up. And I was like, oh. And I was embarrassed and ashamed, and embarrassment and shame didn't kill me. You know, you couldn't have told me that several years ago. I was sure that if I was ashamed of something, that was the end of everything, you know. Now, this is the woman who realizes that when we go somewhere, it takes a day for us to have fun because I was driving, who I then turn to and apologize to for my behavior. Now, she's like, whoa. Okay, who are you and where's my husband? And it's because I'm continuing to work the program. You know, I'm still growing. God willing, I will continue to grow until I die of old age or natural causes or whatever. Won't be an overdose, knock on wood. But I want to continue to grow. You know, I find that there's so much more in changing my bad behaviors, having my character defects lifted. There's so much more to that than there is to being pissed off and yelling at people and, you know, just all that negative, horrible shit that I constantly go through. I once had a therapist tell me, you know, I was explaining how everybody's against me and, you know, my theories about Walmart being a CIA front. And he says, you know, this is a huge burden you're carrying around. How do you make it every day? I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, you are carrying everybody else's problems around. So, you know, it's like carrying around a cement truck all the time. And I thought about it, and I thought, yeah, you know, I am, you know, because they're not carrying my problems around. Because I'm carrying mine and theirs, and I'm getting bitter, resentful, and angry about it, you know? So, I don't know, there should be some magic message from this or something. But it's not coming through right now. But I guess the message for me is, yeah, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. Like I said, they are what support my entire program of recovery. And yet, I'm not real good at all of them, all the time. One at a time is usually doable. Two at a time is nice. And three at a time, man, it just doesn't get any better than that, you know? Recovery, when I'm working all three of those things, is beautiful. My life is good. I'm in harmony with my friends and my wife. And, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any problems at those times. And I, for the life of me, can't figure out why I can't choose to do all three of those things all the time. But then again, like Dave said, I'm not right. So, anyway, that's what I got. And our next speaker is Bernie. And I saved you a little time, Bernie.
Good morning, everyone. I'm an addict. My name's Bernie.
Good morning.
How close do I need to get to this? Where's he at?
Right in front of you.
That's a microphone? Wow. Wow. I mean, Andy, I want to thank you for your message this morning. I mean, I could just stand up here and say ditto. You told my story a lot. I'm one of those people that usually like to talk. Can't shut me up. But ever since I was asked to do this, especially since this morning, since I got up, I've been nervous, and I don't know why. And it's because I can make a, you know, I can make a mountain out of a molehill. But you know, I'm supposed to come up here and talk about the how of the program, the honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And let me say this first, because this is the most important thing. I have to agree with Andy. If I didn't have that, if I didn't practice that, and I wouldn't be here. There's no doubt in my mind. To me, it's you know, like the reading says, it's the spiritual principles, but it's also the foundation of my recovery. And I like to add acceptance to that, too. Because there's times I can't accept nothing. Won't accept nothing. Because I'm an addict. And I want everybody to be just like me. And that ain't happening. So, I guess I'll start with the honesty. A long, long time ago, you know, when I was a kid, my mom used to look at me and say, Bernie, you're honest to a fault. I couldn't be dishonest. I was no good at lying, because I could not, you could see it in my face. And then addiction showed up, and I could lie with the best of them. I used to make up stories, and by the time I got done telling them to whoever, I believed in myself. And if I was sitting over there thinking, if I would have took notes of all the lies that I made up, I could probably write a book. But I'm becoming that person again that my mother said I'm honest to a fault. I don't need to lie about anything today, and I don't want to lie about anything. My problem is, and it's what Andy was saying about, you know, taking other people's inventory. You know, I have a wife that's helped me quite a bit in my recovery program. I'm not saying she's in my program all the time. She does get in it, but you know, I've asked her things, and she, you know, she sets me straight. But we're all honest to the best of our ability. And to the best of our ability, that's where I have a problem. The best of my ability is not lying at all. I don't have to lie to them. I'm, you know what, there's those little white lies that we tell, you know, if you don't hurt somebody's feelings. But, you know, I learned a long time ago that honesty is the best policy. And so that's what I, for me, that's what I try to, you know, that's what I try to do. That's what I try to practice. And taking inventories... There's time in my life that's all I want to do. And you know what? There's pros and cons to everything, I believe. And I watch people and what they do and what they say, and it's like I start judging, and I know I don't want to judge because you know what? I'm not qualified to be a judge. We have one judge, and he's looking down upon us right now. And but the good part about that for me is that if they're doing something that I don't like, I don't want to do that, so I'll practice not doing that. So when I take somebody's inventory, it helps in that, you know, in that perspective. But it goes back to the acceptance. You know what? Everybody's not like me, and I'm not like everybody. And I really struggle with that at times because I can't give you. You know what? My mind. All the years that I use, I'm surprised my mind works. But it's, I'm like, I'm always telling myself, I'm telling my wife, I'm telling my sponsor, why they do that? doing stupid things. You know, like Andy said, I do stupid things too. If I didn't do something stupid or something wrong any particular day, chances are I didn't do nothing that day but stay in bed. For real. I'm not perfect. And I sitting over here thinking, maybe I'm a perfect addict, but I'm not a perfect human being. My way's the right way. You know, there's a wrong way, there's a right way, and then there's my way. And I believe we're all like that. My wife tells me, she says, it's not about being right or wrong. You know, it's about the principles. You know, and I'm trying to, that acceptance, I got to practice that every day. I got to ask God for acceptance every day. The road rage, don't they know who I am? And don't they know I'm going to a meeting? Get out of my way. And you know what? I try practicing no bad words today. And I fall short on that too. But I've used some choice words, trust me. And when I'm alone, you see, nobody knows, so I can use any kind of language I want. Well, God knows. And I know, because after I say it, I don't feel good. Honesty is, it's what kept me clean, you know. From 1988 to 1996, I bounced in and out of these rooms, and I couldn't stay honest. You know, I come to Welfare's quarter the first time, and I kept coming for the wrong reasons, not for myself. Everybody tell me, Bernie, you gotta come here and you gotta get clean for yourself, not for mom and dad, not for your brothers and sisters, not for your girlfriend, your ex-wife, for you. Well, I had to learn, like Wendy was saying last night, I learned things the hard way. I'm from the school of hard knocks. What's the matter with you? Show me. I should be from Missouri, the show me state. And so all the things that you people told me was going to happen to me, did happen to me. You know, we all have different bottoms. So I was finally able to get honest. And there was nobody left to get clean for. But me. And, I could practice honesty then because I was so miserable. And, in 1996, you know, I finally surrendered to this disease and I've been able to stay clean ever since. And it's been, for real, doing a lot of work. And using those three principles. Open-mindedness is for me is I have a tough time with that one because I want to be right. You know, I want to try to figure out things myself. I'm a man. I am a grown man, and I'm stubborn. And I have a lot of my dad in me. He's a German. He was born in Germany, but then again, I stumble. And then I get the acceptance. And then finally, I'll have the open mindedness to say, well, you know what? Maybe my sponsor was right. Or maybe my brother was right who's in recovery. Or maybe my friends are right. I'm going to talk for myself. I don't like people telling me what to do. I don't. Is anybody out there like that? being that I'm, I'm a couple years. I'm approaching the big 5-0. Hey.
Approaching.
I don't want to be told nothing. I should know this stuff. You know what? And I don't like to be embarrassed by other people. I can embarrass myself and I can laugh with you, but don't embarrass me. That's still, you know, that to me is showing me that I'm still not mature. I get that feeling inside that people are laughing at me, and I want to crawl for kids. And I have problems with that. People see that they can get under my skin. You know, we're people. We're creatures of habit. And they're going to, you know, we tease at this age, and we tease as grown-ups as we did as kids. And That's my stuff. That's stuff that I need to work on. And open-mindedness is I gotta, you know, I gotta ask God every day. Because my way doesn't work. My way got me to the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous. Sometimes I can relate to a lot. I mean, I can almost repeat, not word for word, but a lot with what Andy was saying. Sometimes I was sharing this with my wife the other day. I said, you know what? I said, I can see in my future that I'm going to stop going to meetings. I'm going to be one of those people that just disappears. I'm going to stay clean because I know how to stay clean. And you know what that is the negativity that I'm building into my mind, because sometimes I go to meetings and I look for all the negative stuff. I look for all the BS and all the things that I want to be like that I don't want to do. And then I'll go home and I'll call my sponsor and I'll snibble about that. Or I'll talk to my wife and I'll snibble about that. And I, you know, I'll say, I don't want to be like that. You know? That to me, when I sit and think about it, that's my disease telling me that it's still here, still with me. I know I'm not above using. I know if I don't do certain things every day, then I will use. Some days, I stay clean in spite of myself. You know what? I said this a long time ago, and I ain't said it in a while. Narcotics Anonymous could get along without me, but I can't get along without Narcotics Anonymous. No matter how much I bitch and complain, I need you people. There's no doubt about it. Because, you know, me by myself, I'll be on the run. So that, you know, that, I guess what I'm explaining here is how I need to be open-minded. And you know what? If I want to stay, I got to pray. And I got to, there's certain things I got to do. And it doesn't matter what Johnny and Mary and Carol and Tim and Bob, it doesn't matter what they're doing. What am I doing? What am I doing in my program? And it's a real slow process for me. But I mean, the bottom line is, I know that I gotta prevail. I gotta keep doing what I'm doing. I gotta keep coming back. I can go to meetings and think that life's beat me up, and you know what? I walk out of that meeting with all the gratitude in the world, because you know what? I gotta make compared to some of us. You know, I shouldn't even talk about my problems, because people got worse. People are a lot worse than me, and they're staying clean. That's the hope I get. They're going through all this stuff, and they stay clean. So if they can do it, I can do it. Seems like I'm moving along too fast here. I don't know. But willingness is, that's my forte. I've been willing ever since I finally surrendered this disease. I was one of those people, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a product, I believe, of keep coming back. And after 8 years, 8 grueling years, I was hoping that somebody was going to say, you know what, Bernie suffered enough. Let's give him recovery. Let's give it to him. I want somebody to give it to me. And I found out the hard way that ain't happening. And I do the same thing with... Once I found out that nobody was going to give me recovery, that I have to work for recovery, I became willing to do, I'm willing today to do anything. I don't like to say no to nobody, but whatever it takes to stay clean, I'm willing to do. And, you know, driving a couple hours up in the middle of the mountains and getting up early this morning, and you know what, I've camped a couple times in my grown-up years, and, you know, we used to, when I was young, used to sleep out all the time. It's quite the adjustment, but hearing all the creatures last night, and then people out, you know, well, I guess we're old. We were in bed by 12 o'clock. People walking past the tent top, you know, and it's just, you know, this is what this is about, is having a good time. And I'm a very light sleeper and waking up. And then anyway, getting up early this morning and taking a shower and coming here, be here at 9, I'm an addict, 9 o'clock in the morning to talk to some people just like me. There's some willingness there. And the steps is, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about the steps because it has to do with the willingness, is that I thought that I'm from the old school, I guess, that we worked at recovery at our own different speeds, and I criticize so much. I'm so good at criticizing, rolling my eyes and shaking my head, you know, and people that have been around for you know, not even a year, and sharing that they're on this step or that step, and I'm just like, wow. You know what, it took me, my first sponsor told me that this first step's the most important step because you have to do it perfect. So that scared me. Perfect. I ain't never did nothing perfect in my life. And so it took me a while. And I'm averaging, I'm sorry to say, but you know what, it's about being honest. And the deadline's running out because my anniversary's coming up next month. And my new sponsor gave me a deadline with the step I'm on. I'm on that step a year program. And it's part of my character defect. I'm lazy. I procrastinate. You know, the willingness is there because I know that I got to do my steps. I do steps in my daily life that I don't even realize I'm doing until the end of the day when I'm doing an inventory of myself and my day and how I treated people and what I did during that day. And it's like, you know, I'm practicing these steps, but you know, the bottom line is we have to formally write out those steps, because when you write something down, it clicks up here. I've learned that. So my sponsor, my new sponsor, who I believe is the best sponsor in the world, he's been very patient with me. And the last time we went out together to have lunch or dinner, he gave me a deadline. And he says, oh, you're going to make me choke now. I can't take the pressure. And you know what? The funny part is, I'm probably 85% complete of that step. I get 1,000 pens in my house, but I can't find one. At the end of the day, when the wife and the daughter are sleeping, there's my time. There's my quiet time to pick up that pen and finish it. But I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it. And let's say it's 23rds of a week. So the willingness is I'm going to do it because I don't want to let my sponsor down. I just hope I don't wait till August 30th and rush it, you know, cram it all in, because I want to move on. I want to move on to step 7. And these character defects, I have, I can say about this, about honesty. I got the honesty, but I got these other issues. I got this, compulsions. I have issues, I have character defects that I don't practice on, but I have them. I go there in my mind, okay? But I know that, it's just, you know, I know the difference between right and wrong. But I don't want to, and it's because I'm a human being, I don't want to have to walk up to that line with these character defects and also have to make a decision. If I get mad or I get angry, that's where I go. I race to that. You know, if I have a fight with my wife, here's where I go. And, you know, sometimes we'll get mad at each other, and she's real good at saying, you need to work a step. And I always say, you know what, you better stay out of my program. Because I stay out of yours. And the change in a few years I've been around, a few days I've been around, to me is like this, to myself. But I have a wife and I have stepkids, and I have a daughter, and I have a brother and sister in the program. My brother says, I've changed this much. I don't see it. I see it a little bit, but you know what? I'm very hard on myself. Because I'm striving for something that I'll never achieve. Perfection. Even though I say I don't want perfection, I don't want to make no mistakes. And you know, out of the three principles there, willingness is my strongest point. Because I'm a construction worker by trade, and I, you know, right now I haven't worked for almost 2 months now. And had a project going on at the house that took forever. And I'm just about done. I figured, you know, the wife figured it would take about 3.5 days. It's about a month. But you know what? I'm learning as I go. But anyways, my point here is that when I'm not working, you'll see me at least 5 meetings a week. This is where I get my medicine. This is where I get juiced. This is where I get charged. Andy was talking about going 3 years. I'm going to a meeting. I can't go 4 days. Because I'm all messed up in here. And I got some professional help too. I got a psychologist that I just started going to see. And a psychiatrist I just started to go see. I changed my medication to the antidepressant. You know, when I was out there using, I thought depression was I ran out of money or ran out of drugs. I didn't know it was an illness. And the anger issues, I was to a point where, you know, my wife said, Bernie, you got veins popping out of your head. It must have been scary. I don't know. I can't, you know, I don't. When I get angry and scream and yell, I ain't looking at no mirror, you know what I mean? So I do need help. There's no doubt about it. And the willingness is that I have a pretty good idea that I've had a glimpse, I've had a taste of the person that God wants me to be. I'm pretty sure I know who God wants me to be. Getting there is where I need help. I need help with my sponsor, the weed program that I have. And I don't, you know what, to be honest with you, I don't use my weed nearly as much as I need to. But you know what, when I'm all jammed up, I know I can grab one of the guys. And I need to talk to you. To be the person that God intended me to be, which I know is a good, warm-hearted, loving, caring person, I'm willing to get professional help, get help outside my immediate family and my recovery family, and it's okay. You know what? Yeah, I go to a psychologist. So what? You got a problem with that? I go to a psychiatrist. You got a problem with that? I don't, because you know what? I don't want to be that person I used to be. So whatever it takes. So there again is a willingness to it's my strong suit. And the honesty, the open-mindedness. We'll say a prayer at the end of the meeting for that. I'm stubborn, and I know everything. I've experienced everything, you know. But you know what? I know how to stay clean. Doing life, clueless. I'm doing life best I can, and I have a lot of help. So my message today. I don't know if I talk long enough or if I talk too long. Usually I'm accused of talking too long, but that's okay too. Is that the message here is if you practice the three spiritual principles of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, sky's the limit. You want to stay clean, practice these principles, and we can do whatever we want to do. You know, since I've been clean, all these things have happened in my life that, you know what, I couldn't even think about when I was first got clean. Couldn't think about it. And what did I do? I put down the drugs. That's it. God's done the rest. And God works through you people. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, the promises and rewards that we hear about in that other fellowship, which apply to us because we get them, it's amazing. amazing. I don't deserve any of this. I don't deserve any of it. There's times in my mind I'm telling that. So, the message is that there's hope for a knucklehead like me. And I was a knucklehead. I still can be a knucklehead. I get the bumps to prove it. Apply these three principles. And just watch the miracle happen. I love you guys. Thanks.
I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing your experience, strength, and hope with us. Can we have a reading just for today at the podium? My name is Eric. I'm an addict.
Eric.
Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. I want faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. I will have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Because for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new associations, people who are not using and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, nothing to fear. We have a nice way of closing.
Some moment of silence for a still suffering addict inside my side of the circle.
God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Just for coming back. Wendy.